Well, good evening, everyone. On last week's show, I had Jack the Bear, which is now available on iTunes on Audio Boom. He was over in Melbourne, and I mentioned that because this week we're going over to Staten Island, USA. Yeah, we're global. Anyway, you know what you're listening to. Thanks for joining us again on this first day of spring. So tonight I'm going to be talking to an amazing young lady. She's an author, just about to write her second book. And what's more amazing than that, she's dyslexic. And she's only 11. Wow. Blown away by her. So glad she came on the show. Anyway, sit back, relax, and grab a coffee. Oh yeah. Well, good evening, people. And tonight we're going across the pond. We're going to the USA. I'm going to speak to an amazing young lady that I've been watching and seeing what she's been doing over there. And she goes by the name of the Dyslexic Renegade. So, good evening.
Good evening.
Do you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. I'm Leah, and I'm the author of Dyslexic Renegade.
Because obviously you're not as old as me, not just yet. So, for the sake of everyone listening, tell them how old you are.
I'm 11, turning 12 in a month.
Oh, that's great. Oh, you got birthday next month then?
Yep.
Oh, that'll be nice for you, won't it, birthday?
Yep.
So what made you write the book then, Leah?
I wrote Dyslexic Renegade because I thought it would be nice to have other kids know that they're not the only ones who are dyslexic.
That's similar to me, really. It seems similar to what I'm trying to do. So how has that gone down then with people? Have a lot of people shown an interest in it and bought the book?
Yeah, a lot of people bought the book. Even people who aren't dyslexic, they've bought the book too because they know, and maybe they want to know how it feels to be dyslexic.
Yeah, and that's very important because it's important for the dyslexics, to people that are dyslexic, to understand that they're not alone. But even more important to that, it's important for the non-dyslexics to understand because they get fed a lot of misinformation, which needs changing, and that's what you've done with your book. So you're ahead with me then, and I feel quite jealous that you've created a book. So you're going to write another book, or are you just doing the one?
I'm writing another book.
What's that one called?
It's a story that I'm writing with my friend. We're calling it The Hall.
So The Hall as in the school hall?
Kind of like a horror story that we were told to write in class, but then we thought that we progressed so much in it, we wanted to, both of us agreed that we wanted to publish it.
That's blooming amazing. So it's not about dyslexia at all. It's actually a fictional book, is it?
Yes, it's a fictional book.
Well, you're going to have to tell me when that's out because I'll have to buy that off you. I'll have to get a signed copy from you to post it over if you can do that for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Goodness knows what you're going to be doing in a few years if you're doing that at 11 and 12. So before we came on, I was just saying it's you're going to have bad snow tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah.
We're in spring now here, so they say, and it was quite warm today. The sun was shining, and I knew it was going to be snowing in North America, and I thought, oh, well, I'm glad I'm here. It's a lot better. So that mean you get a day off school, do you think?
Yeah, they already cancelled schools for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, all the parents going, oh, no, what we're going to do tomorrow.
Oh, no, I'm excited. I did a happy dance.
So you're Mummy Leah then, aren't you? Do you want to introduce yourself while you're on?
Hi, yes, I'm Leah's mother.
So what do you think of your daughter then doing this stuff that she's doing, the book writing? And
I think that she's incredibly brave for doing what she did. I remember she was embarrassed when she found out that she was dyslexic because she was having a hard time in school, and we didn't know why. But once she was diagnosed, she felt relieved, and then embarrassment, and then anger. So I think the book was a good outlet for her.
Yeah, I fully get that because I didn't find out till I was 44, so I had a lifetime of not knowing. And yeah, I got very, very upset when I found out, not because I was bothered about being dyslexic, more the fact that it was like an emotional release that I finally understood who I was and why I thought the way I did and why I did certain things that I did. So I fully get that. But so then, and that's what I like about and that's why I wanted to get on the show, talking to people that have had found something like that out, and, you know, it's a bit of an adversity thing, and then twisting it round and making something really positive about it. I think it's tremendous. Really is.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed. It wasn't until she was diagnosed that my parents piped up with, oh, well, we're dyslexic. So both of my parents are dyslexic. And both of their mothers are dyslexic. And then I struggled in school for a long time. I ended up doing, really well because I figured out what worked well for me. But once she was diagnosed, my parents were like, oh, you know what? You're dyslexic too. I said, what?
It's like a circle. So. Dyslexia never ends.
Because it's hereditary. That's unbelievable, really, that they knew and never said anything because it is hereditary. I don't think a lot of people really realize that. I think more people know now. But even when I tell people now it's hereditary, they go, oh, really? Is it not just something that your nurse says? No, it's definitely a hereditary condition that goes through families. And it normally affects more males than females. So you're the lucky one to be a female and have it as well. Extra special.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yes, she is. And you was going to ask me some questions. So fire away. What do you want to interview me about then?
Yes. So how was school for you?
Because I wasn't diagnosed at school. I really enjoyed elementary school, I think you call it in the States.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that because that was all playing and messing about in sandpits and water and painting things and things like that. So I love that. And then when I went to senior school, which is at the age of 11, I started to realise I didn't really like school. There were some subjects I really enjoyed, like physics and biology and chemistry, but English and other things and sports, I just didn't like it. I couldn't wait to leave school at 16.
Yeah, so another question I have is, do you or did you like to read?
No. No, definitely not. I do read books, but I don't read a lot of books. I tend to read something if I'm really interested in it. So when I started a job being like a manager or a leader, I wanted to understand more about that. And this was before the internet. You won't remember that. Before we actually had the internet where we could go and search things. So we had to read books. So I used to read a lot of management books. I don't read fiction because they don't tend to interest me, because it's a waste of my time because I don't like reading. And I'll read things that interest me, like biographies and things like that, but only probably one or two a year. But I might have to read your book, though. I'll read your one.
Ooh, send us your address. We'll send you one.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant.
How is your spelling?
Not very good. It's terrible. If I try and write things down, I'll make a lot of spelling mistakes. I use a lot of systems on my computer that, like a one called Grammarly, that identifies when I've used the wrong grammar. So if I've wrote something like the word there instead of there, it'll pick that up, which is really good. I think it's a good system.
Yeah,
and my handwriting's terrible. It's like a spider's crawled across the paper.
Next question.
Go on then.
Is your handwriting sloppy on purpose so people can't tell spelling mistake?
Yes. And I just thought I was a scruffy writer, but as I got older and realised I was dyslexic, I thought, I've done that so that it masks the spelling mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And before I had a computer, what I used to do, because I struggled, I didn't know I was dyslexic, but I knew I struggled writing or spelling words. So what I used to do, I'd start writing something and say I wanted to put a complicated word down that I didn't know, like say specifically or something like that, I'd change that to a simple word and put a simple word in instead.
Yeah, my mom does that.
Yeah, it's a good workaround. But the great thing is now, because we've got technology, I don't have to use simple words. I can use lots of complicated words because the computer will pick them up. But I get very frustrated sometimes because I'll start typing a word out and I'll completely misspell it because of obviously the way I'm trying to spell it. And then the computer doesn't even know what I'm trying to say. And that's really frustrating.
Yeah, I know how you feel.
I heard that there's an app or a program that can actually detect mistakes like that. I forget what it's called. Grammarly, maybe?
I use Grammarly. There's a free version and there's a paid version, and I've got no accreditation to it, so I'm not promoting them. I just found it sits on your computer. Even when you're using Facebook on the desktop, mm-hmm. It's actually analysing what you're writing and doing it there as well.
Okay.
It's very good.
All right, so we'll have to get that, Leah.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, Right, okay. No, they were very good questions and really interesting for people to understand them as well, because they're the sort of questions that other people want to know. So when you did your book then, did you get someone to who proofread it for you before you had it published?
My mom actually typed it for me. I read what I wrote to her, and then she typed it, because I was one of the slowest typers. Probably a slug could type faster than me at that time. But but now in school, they like taught typing classes. So I did that, and now it's easier for me to type, and I type faster.
Typing is a lot better than writing, because you can't do scruffy writing when you type. And there's something else I do sometimes as well. I don't know if you've got, I have an iPhone. I don't know what phone you have. Do you have an iPhone, or are you on an Android?
iPhone, yeah.
Well, if you're on Wi-Fi and you go into Note, you can actually dictate in Note, and it will actually pick it up quite good as well. So that's even quicker than typing and writing. And then you can email that to yourself and put it into your document. So that's a good one to work on.
I do speech to text, and I think my mom does it sometimes too. Like if I have to spell a word, sometimes I do that. So.
Oh, that's a good idea. I've not tried that. That's a tip from you then. That I'm gonna do that to do the words, because I was using I'm writing some articles for a magazine at the moment, and I've been doing them on Google Docs, because I can access it then from anywhere and just finish the article off, which has helped me. And there's a voice function in Google Docs as well that I've just tried, but I'm not sure how good it is.
I also interviewed Diana Gabaldon.
Oh, yes, I saw that. How did that go?
Have you also interviewed anyone famous? Like, that's really popular.
Oh, that's a good question. Famous in my little world, if that makes sense. So there's some people that I do a lot of networking, and there's some people in that circle who are very well known in the UK. One's the UK's number one business motivational speaker. So I interviewed him the other week, but I've not interviewed any famous people. So there again, you've got another one on me. So that lady you've mentioned, what does she, because over in, I've got listeners all over, but in the UK, they probably don't know who she is. So what does she do then, that lady?
She is an author. She wrote a bunch of books from Outlander.
Oh.
Yeah. She wrote Outlander, and it's now a
TV show that takes place in Scotland.
Yeah.
Oh, so where did you manage to see her then? Was she at a book launch?
Well, it's kind of like a weird story, because I'm a huge fan of hers for years. And when the books became a Starz Network TV show / movie, Leah would come in and she would say, "Ooh, who's that?" Like, she thinks she likes the actor, the main, you know, the main character. And she would see.
Keep your eye on her.
Yeah, but she would see me read her books, and her books are like 1,000 pages. They're crazy big.
Yeah.
And she was always impressed that they were so big. Like, if you listen to the interview, she talks about that. And Leah also uses Learning Ally, which is audiobooks.
So and what it does is the book, it's basically any book you want, and then it downloads the book that you have to download the book that you want. And then it's a voiceover that they read the book to you.
Right. So Diana, the author of Outlander, used to volunteer for Learning Ally. So they're audiobooks for the visually impaired and dyslexic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you've taught me something else, because I think that's fantastic, because a great way for a dyslexic to actually get access to stories, because I love stories and I'd love to listen to them or watch them. So I'm going to go and check that out as well. So that's how you got to, so obviously you found her because she was helping out then.
Yeah, Leah went to record her book at Learning Ally. So if you download her book via Learning Ally, it's actually her reading the book. And she made like a little shout out to Diana Gabaldon, the author, and we tweeted it. And then somebody at Learning Ally took it and emailed it to her as well. And she responded, and we asked her if she'd be willing to do like an author-to-author interview with Leah, and she said yes. So, you know, we live in New York, and she came to an event in New York, And I actually just by chance had previous tickets to go see her speak, well, hear her speak. And my husband brought Leah to Manhattan, and they got to interview each other.
Yeah.
You've got the confidence then, and you've got great ideas to actually do that, to actually go and record something at your age is brilliant. And then to have the idea of giving her a shout out and then arranging that interview and actually interviewing someone famous. So was that nerve-wracking?
A little bit, but then after I'm like, oh, okay, I could do this again sometime.
I think you're pretty amazing to do all the things you're doing. You'll be a good source of inspiration to other dyslexics, I'm sure, in what you're doing in the States. And that's why I want to share you with the people over here as well, so they get to know who you are.
Yeah.
What's the plans, Leah, then, when you leave education? What are you thinking of doing?
I don't really know, but I have a lot to think about in a long time.
Yeah. You're still young. It'll come around sooner than you think. But all I'd say to you is just find out what you want to do and just keep putting that effort in that you're putting in now. And I know you're going to do really well in whatever you decide to do. So with you at school then, because you're dyslexic, is the education system helping you with your studies or with any of the issues that you've got?
Nope.
That's a loaded question.
Yeah.
Shh. No. Shh. I'm trying to be professional here. So. Well, yeah. I knew the answer to the question, but I'm still going to ask it.
Yeah, they're not helping. They really think they are, but they're not. They're not doing anything.
Well, I find that shocking in this day and age where there's a lot of information about dyslexia and still the education system's not helping, and that's what I find really bizarre in the UK as well, that it's even the same over here where people have to some schools are really good and some schools identify and some teachers are really good. So I'm not saying it's the same in every school and every teacher, but the majority, I believe, don't understand it, some don't even recognise it as a condition. They think it's just people being lazy or not trying. And to find out that it's happening in, you know, one of the world's superpowers is pretty terrible, really.
Yeah, New York doesn't actually really recognise dyslexia, and some people don't even believe in it here, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's the same here as well. And it's just, you wouldn't think with all the information and all the access to things that would be the case. I think it's crazy, really. So what's the plans? What's you planning to do about that then, Mum?
We are suing the Department of Ed for the third year in a row. Yeah. The premise is that they aren't meeting her educational needs, and because she's dyslexic, it falls under, disabilities. So they're violating her. It's called FAPE, Free and Appropriate Public Education, and then IDEA, which is the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. So we did it twice, last year and the previous year. So the DOE pays for her private school. But we just had a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and they determined that she is prepared to go back into a local school, and we disagree. We disagreed with their findings, and so we're fighting it. We're going to sue again. So
yeah, well, fair play to you if you've got to do what's right for you, and not just for you, for other children. Because what I find really strange with that, if someone was physically disabled or not able-bodied, whatever the right word is, because I know people don't like certain words, then I'm sure then the help would be there, wouldn't it? You know, they wouldn't expect a child that was in, say, a wheelchair not to have a ramp to get into school would you? So why not do that for a child that's got a disability that prevents them from learning or need extra help in getting educated?
Right.
Yeah. We agree. If someone was blind, they would have someone be there for them. Like, sometimes they would do Braille, and they would sometimes also do have somebody with, they would have somebody read it out loud to them. But with dyslexia, they don't do that. They just think sometimes the teachers or other people will think that you're lazy and they don't need that, but blind people do. I don't have anything against blind people. I'm just saying that dyslexic people don't get that much help as other people do with disabilities, with different styles, I like to say.
Oh, I like that, different styles. Yeah, that's great. But no, you're spot on, and I think because it's something that's not physical that you can see or understand, like if someone's deaf or someone's blind, you know that person's deaf or blind. So, and I think then they just look and say, well, you're not trying. I think it's a crime, and I think you should be just keep on doing what you're doing in raising the awareness, and that's, I'll keep doing that over here, because we've got to get them to realize that we're not stupid, we're not lazy, and we can learn. We just need a different way of learning, a different way of understanding. Who cares if you spell something wrong or you put the wrong word in somewhere? Most of the time people can understand.
That's true.
I put you in contact with some guys over there. I don't know if they've contacted you and got in touch with you, because they've done a really good job with their son. Obviously they're in a different part of the States. Dyslexic and unstoppable. You're obviously, with what you're doing now, so you go to a different, you're going to a different school with a different education. So what are they doing for you there at the non-mainstream school? What's different?
Yeah, it's a school for dyslexic kids.
Only, which really helps out. It's smaller, and then some, and also the teachers have more time with a student, so it's easier, and you get people to explain things to you. Not, and they're all fully trained to teach dyslexics.
Yeah, they're all Orton Gillingham trained.
Yes.
Well, that sounds perfect, and if you look at some of the things you're doing with, and then you're writing another book. Being dyslexic and writing your second book, well, obviously something's working for you. So, have you seen a difference from being in that school with you, especially your confidence? Does it improve your confidence?
Yes, it does. When I went to my other school, I had a lack of confidence because I thought that I was stupid and that I would never be able to be smart, but I knew there was going to have to be some way to fix that.
Well, I think you are smart anyway, and the fact that we might see things differently or not be able to spell certain things or struggle with like appointments or spatial awareness in some people and things like that doesn't mean that you're not intelligent, because there's no relationship between intelligence and being dyslexic. Far from it. A lot of dyslexics are above average in intelligence when they're tested for IQ. And also, you know, some of these places like NASA, where they've got to do a lot of problem solving, do have a lot of people with ADHD and dyslexia in their teens, because they're really good at solving problems that non-dyslexics aren't. So we're not stupid. I think it's actually a bit of a gift. But you might not think that, but that's what I think.
I used to think that it wasn't a gift, like it was a curse kind of. But now I know that I think that it's a gift, because not everybody has this, and it's a one-of-a-kind thing. But it's something I have severe dyslexia. But I think it's a gift, because people who don't have it, they don't really understand. But then when you describe it to them, they're like, whoa, I did not know that.
Yeah, and you'll see, like I've said before, you'll see the world different. And if you wasn't dyslexia, you wouldn't be you. You are... You know, it's that's who you are, aren't you? It's part of you, and it makes you think the way you do to come up with your ideas and your books and going and doing your audio stuff, which is great. So have you thought about doing any podcasts and things like that?
I have some ideas, and I want to do a podcast, but honestly, I don't know how.
She asked for a YouTube channel, so we were considering maybe doing something like that. Well, when I say we, I really mean her with my supervision type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, YouTube is great because you can record it and put it up there. And podcasting is not that difficult. I can go into more detail after, but for people that's listening, if anyone wants to do a podcast, one of the easiest ways is to download an app called Audio Boom. When I got it, it was free. It might be about 90 quid or something like that, or whatever. But you can record a podcast straight into it, and then later on you can link it to iTunes. So you can start off quite quickly doing a podcast, and you can also record it on your desktop and edit it. And YouTube, I've had a YouTube channel since 2006. So if you need any help with the YouTube or your podcasting, then let me know and we'll do a Skype and I'll talk you through it.
That would be amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not difficult once you know how. It's quite straightforward. So, but I think video for you, I think YouTube would be brilliant for people to connect with you, see what you're doing. I think people would really be interested in it.
Yeah.
We'll have to
think about it.
Yeah. No, we'll have to do it. What do you mean think about it?
Just do it. Just do it. Because us dyslexics learn from looking, don't we, and listening rather than reading. So what better way to connect with people than doing a YouTube channel?
Yeah.
That'd be great. Look forward to that. I will subscribe when you start it up as well.
Oh, awesome.
Right, so we're nearly at the end of the when we're getting to the end of the interview, these go really, 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 really quick. So I normally ask people how people can get hold of you, and obviously you're young. I don't want any Tom, Dick and Harry just contacting you. So what do you reckon, Mum? Do people contact you, or do we just leave it and let people find her? Or the book? How do they get hold of the book? Because normally when I interview people, they've got websites and they've got businesses and they want to be found. So it's not the same when it's someone that's underage. So,
well, me and my mom have a Facebook that I post quite frequently about dyslexia and how my day was, or about things I've done,
some politics. Here and there.
Great. So what do people search for to get you then, to find you on that?
You just type in Dyslexic Renegade. This is how you spell it, just in case. D-Y-S-L-E-X-I-A. No, I mean C. Dyslexic. Then this is Renegade. R-E-N-E-G-A-D-E. Dyslexic Renegade.
Oh, brilliant. It's like a spelling bee then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done any of them either when I was younger. And obviously the book, if people wanted to get hold of the book, they can obviously contact you there and find out about the book.
They can go to Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, or Amazon.com, and Barnes & Noble's or BarnesandNobles.com. So you can get it off of those.
And they can also download it.
They can also download it from me speaking on Learning Ally.
They can also download it not on Learning Ally. They can download it via BarnesandNobles.com and Amazon also, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And is that called Dyslexic Renegade as well?
Yeah.
The book.
Yeah. The book is called Dyslexic Renegade.
He's on Instagram too. It's Dyslexic Renegade.
Yeah. And post... also on Twitter, which is Dyslexia Rocks.
It's Leah Renegade at Dyslexia Rocks.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great. Well, thanks for being on the show. And I'm going to keep watching and see where you're up to. And I want to know when your book comes out, your next book, because we'll promote that as well. So thanks for that.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome. Thank you so much.
Well, how good was that, people? Thanks, Leah. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing your experience. And I think you're a true inspiration. And you've got me really thinking about things. But thanks for spending the time with me. I think you're amazing. On next week's show, we've got a magician. Not very good for radio, but don't worry, I've done some video for that as well. So join me next week, same time, same place, on Radio Warwickshire for... See ya!